Time to show the world that top is what I strive for. Greatness is a journey I'm willing to strive for. Consistency is key and I don't take no time off. Against the odds, I put it all on the line for. A lesson learned for every flaw I'm gonna make. Consequence I undertake, putting all my trust in fate. Failure won't become my fate. 10 toes down, I never fold. Give it all to reach my goal. As my name is stone, when my story's told. Say I did it for the...
I did just a little bit research on your background.
What did you find?
just the projects you mentioned on Twitter, like Product Bites, right? This is how I discovered your stuff in the first place. And I wasn't aware that you actually acquired it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. It's acquired because it was started by some guy called Kevin Rook. And then, and you bought it really early. So, like, after 2 months or so after their launch, which is crazy. So
yeah, I mean, I can tell you why we bought it, what made sense for us. Like that's something we wanted to build for like months since we started Get Ayuda. Like since like the pandemic started, like we've been like basically helping companies relocate their factories to Mexico. Like we basically find factories that matches their price and quality for the factories that they used to produce in China. Mm. And many of our clients are based in the USA. With so much tension between China and the US.
Oh, that's super smart.
It made sense for them to like find backup factories. Mexico has the infrastructure for that. Basically, my two other co-founders, Zest, are based in Mexico. And so we distributed like the roles. And it's funny, like the way this started was because Zev, the other co-founder, he wasn't good in English. And that's something he wanted to do because he had a company that used to produce in China. And that's where we met. We met in Shanghai back in 2017. And he had like a mail accessories subscription box that he used to produce in China and bring it to Mexico. And we were speaking like, why don't you do it in Mexico? There's so many factories there. And like, there's a stigma or like that people think everything has to be done in China.
For whatever reason, yeah.
For whatever reason, exactly. And like, it's not like they have they might have the best labor cost, but like the quality you can find there elsewhere. So he started like moving his operations to Mexico and it was really, really good. Since he's in Mexico, there's no shipping, like it's right there. And the taxes, Mexican made. So like there's less taxes for Mexican made products. Oh. Like maybe the labor cost was more expensive in Mexico, but like it evens out. So like he said, I want to do this. Can you? He wrote a message in Spanish. I told him and I posted it in a community. It's called Trends. So he told me to post a message there.
And which Trends community? You know, because there are two, like it's trends.co and trends.vc, right?
So this I posted it on the trends.co with Sampai. That's where we posted it. And I really had no expectations for this. It was just literally a post, hey, who's having factory problems in China? This was back in January where like the Chinese New Year was coming up. So there's like a month where they didn't produce anything in China. And we got like 30 comments. And we basically built a tight form. I built a really quickly website. I literally put the first name that came up to my mind, which Get Ayuda in Spanish means get help. And gethelp.co. We set up like a basic cart page and we started getting orders. And I guess we started building from there. Then we brought another founder, Elias, because we needed help with customs, logistics, and shipping. And his family owns an import and exportation company in Mexico. So we're able to offer the whole package, like find the factories, do the quality control checkups, do the logistics, the packaging, the labeling, everything. So yeah, that's basically how we started. It was very unexpected to start this kind of company, but the world is so unexpected right now, so anything can happen.
Yeah, it's super fascinating. And I think it's like the perfect idea and also a perfect fit for the Trends Group, because of course there was the Corona whole issues and you immediately spotted the opportunity and used it perfectly. And this is like your full-time gig now, helping companies get their products made in Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. At some point, we wanted to build like an Alibaba in Latin America. Like then we realized the problems that Alibaba has the most is that they're not personalized. Like if you're looking for something to build, you go to their website and like there's no good customer service, there's no good attention to the client. You're in another country, so like there's so much uncertainty. So what we want to build is like maybe like a smaller scale, build like a connection with the client, have like a really good communication with them. There's so many questions that they're going to have since they cannot fly either. Like we send them samples, we go back and forth. So very personalized experience. That's what we want to build.
So usually I'm only talking to people who are doing like software projects or some, at least something in that direction. And right. I wasn't aware of like this super interesting backstory. And how does product buy it fit into the picture?
Yeah, definitely. So like that's something that we wanted to do because like we get so many inquiries of products that don't end up happening. Nothing happens, right? Because it's just from people who just were looking for quotes, but like they're really interesting products that a lot of people will be interested to buy. Like, because there's so many people, they don't know what product to buy and they want to start an e-commerce or like Amazon FBA or Shopify. So that's something that we wanted to do for a really, really long time. And then like, it's funny, like Kevin, he posted it also on the trends group about product bite. And when I saw it, I said, okay, this is something I wanted to do. We have to buy. We have some for content. And I looked at their website. It was really good. Like it's very conversion friendly.
Yeah, it's a beautiful website where it's very clear. Here, enter your email, get access.
Exactly. And like when I would scroll down, like I felt the trigger of like becoming a member. And I said, if I have this trigger, maybe many other people. So like I said, I contacted the guy. What are you looking to do? Why you're selling it? I also did some research on him and I found he has a TED Talk. So this guy knows what he's doing. And we started back and forth. I think it was like on a Sunday he posted it. We agreed on a price on a Monday. And then on Friday, we did like a few Zoom calls. He was explaining me what his vision is, how he gets everything done, how does he runs the website, the MailChimp, everything. And in basically 5 days, we closed the deal. So every newsletter is launched every Thursday. So Thursday, he launched the newsletter and then I took over on Friday. And the next Thursday was like my first time. I mean, they built it really, really fast. They found product market fit and it was something that we wanted to build. So like, it was like aggregated value. Like they saved us months of trial and error. Like the value here was the time. It wasn't really the monetary value. It was like something that we were going to do eventually. Like these guys, they did it already and it was a reasonable price for us to pay. Maybe we paid a little bit of a premium for like something that was just at the beginning, but like it was a risk we were willing to take.
Yeah, awesome. So Kevin posted also in the trends group that he wants to sell the newsletter.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Ah, cool.
Yeah.
So this is how it happened. And so he also posted like on Indie Hackers, like a few public stats. So right after the start, I think, or maybe 2 weeks after they start, they already made some money, which is really cool, exactly. Right? So just $100, I think it were in the beginning from 5 subscribers, paying subscribers and 300 free subscribers. So, and why did he want to sell it?
He's a maker, right? So he makes a bunch of products. Like as yourself, I see you're launching like a bunch of products, right?
Yeah, right.
I guess he wanted to launch a bunch of products and a bunch of ideas. And like he wanted to focus on another one that I'm guessing he had a better gut feeling or like something like that. So he wanted to focus on something else.
Right. So there are people who like to start stuff and then people who like to grow stuff. And it's not always the same kind of people. And I think this kind of model where you have people just launching stuff and then people taking it over and taking it to the next level makes perfect sense in a lot of cases.
Definitely.
So, and this is really a market that's taking off right now because lots of people are realizing this and making these kind of micro acquisitions. So it's not like buying a big startup, but like a small kind of thing, which is making $1,000 or whatever.
Exactly.
And that's really smart. And since you bought it, you were able to grow it. So, or better, did people notice that the owner changed? So did you get any complaints? Yeah.
With the first issue, we announced we were taking over. And we've been growing it. Right now we have 17 paid members. We actually increased the prices. Because I looked into like the actual reports, the content is really, really good. Like Kevin told me, like just focus on the distribution. And we asked a few people how much they were willing to pay on our network. So we increased it from 25 a month to 35 a month. And then we looked into the analytics. How is the churn going on? How many months it takes for people to leave the thing?
Yeah.
And we noticed like for many of these newsletters and content, 3 months is like the amount of time people are willing to stay. So like as a set of standard, we decided to switch from monthly, like the default, to quarterly. Because we realized most of the people, they were leaving like right now it's like 4 months that since Product ID is live, 3 to 4 right. months. And most people only stay for 3 months. We're making some adjustments from monthly to quarterly. We still have the monthly option, but like quarterly is like the default. It's like for anybody who's launching newsletter, stuff like that, try quarterly and don't think people are willing to pay more for what you offer. It's very valuable. Like for this is like showing people how to make money online or in e-commerce, like any content. Like for you, Jacob, you also have like ways to like grow Gumroads or like newsletters, the Substacks.
Right. Yeah.
Everything that we think as a maker, somebody who starts, we feel like a little vulnerable, I guess. If people are willing to pay this, are we charging too much? But it's the opposite. It might be charging too little.
Right. So because if the data you're providing is really useful, then the $30 or whatever you're charging per month is exactly. just one additional sale or whatever. That should be a no-brainer and really cool that you're able to grow it. And were you able to like improve the churn? So with this new pricing model?
So we don't have so much data right now because it's like relatively new. Like since we made the adjustments, I guess in like 6 months, we'll be able to tell if the change actually made sense or like if it had nothing to do with the churn. So we still have to get some feedback from the people, which is awesome. Like always they're reaching out, telling us, hey, you should make these changes. That's what's awesome about the community is like they're willing to help you. So like, which is awesome.
Absolutely. Really cool. Yeah. And you're also selling it using Gumroad. I'm
yeah. yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. I'm a huge fan. So
very easy to use.
So even though I have nothing to do with e-commerce, so I'm not having any store and no plans to launch one, but I think what you're doing is really cool. It's really you're providing really great reports. And I did like quite a lot of research into similar projects like Product Byte because there are quite a few now. So definitely. Like which are selling trends or product ideas as a service. Right.
Definitely.
There are lots of them, but you really rather Kevin and you bought it and found a niche, which I'm not sure existed before, which is really this focus on e-commerce and not on software or whatever.
Right.
It's really smart. And yeah. Have you already had any problems with like copycats? People
really
stealing your stuff or whatever.
I don't really worry about copycats or competition. I rather like focus on competing against ourselves, how we can make it better, how we can distribute it better. Because I guess like since we're digital and native, we think everybody's on the internet, but like really maybe 10-17% is at the level that we're on. So there's so many people going in for e-commerce, for software, for SaaS. There's so many people getting involved. So like, it's an expansive market. So it's better to collaborate and find ways to get other people in. And if a million new people come in and three companies are in that market and they're working together to get these people in, it's more worth it for everybody than try to like compete for maybe the 10,000 people who are already in. So like,
right.
I'm not really worried about the competition.
Yeah, right. I would love to hear more about your process if you're willing to talk about that. How you're doing that? How you're doing what you're doing?
With back to me, right? Like how?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's all about cool product ideas that you discover. And I'm just pulling up the latest issue, which was about cashmere leggings.
Yeah, yeah. So we have a list of maybe 400 product ideas, e-commerce ideas, and we categorize them based on like the wow factor. Is this something that's different? It's not like coffee mugs. Like when people think e-commerce, they think coffee mugs, they think chairs, like very generic stuff, right?
Right.
So we have the database of like 400 products of like different variations. And the wow factor, like we analyze how good they're selling on Amazon. What's the competition like? Like right now we're also launching like marketing ideas. So like what's an example of a Google ad that could happen? Copywriting. We're going beyond the competitor analysis. We want to offer as much as possible in a digestible way because usually all these reports, they're usually like 40 pages and nobody has time to read 40 pages on one product, right? So like
right.
We want to digest it in 5 to 8 pages. How do I execute it? This is where the market is. This is how much you can make. This is expected CPM, which is cost per 1,000 views on Google. What's the conversion rate and all that? So we start, we have the 400 products, then we look into what's the competition at that moment, because many of these products are seasonal, right? We look into, is this a product that's seasonal or is this something that can be sold at any time of the year? Then it's usually like we take the best products that we take from there. Then we do the research. Like right now, I do the research. We can, I guess in the future, I'll be able to teach somebody to like how to do the research. Like Kevin taught me how to do the research. So he was able to, I'll be able to teach somebody else. So,
right.
But like at the beginning, I want to learn like how to do this right, how to grow it and all that. So yeah, we take one idea for the free product, then we take two other product ideas that might sell more. Maybe like they're more expensive, maybe there's less competition, so they're more units are able to be sold. So like the free product, like most of the times, like we put how much they're able to earn or like estimated potential revenue. And then like the other two, we try to make it more. Like usually the free one is like 30K, 25K. And the other ones are like 60K, 70K. That's obviously with a marketing budget of $10,000 a month. So like that's like,
not poor profit, yeah.
Yeah. So like it's just like something that people can see and okay, say, okay, if I put this amount of money, maybe I'll be able to get this. There's so many other factors involved. Like it's not like you do this, then you're going to get that. So yeah, so our process is I try to like write the reports on Sunday, like the free report, have everything done by... So I write on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. That's where I write everything. Then I have to convert it to MailChimp and I send it to a proofreader because English is not my first language. I need somebody to like, you know, proofread if this word actually makes it in English and I know that. So yeah, try to like be consistent with the days of writing, Monday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, proofread it, Wednesdays, MailChimp, and then Thursday and every other day is distribution. Sure, I post it on Twitter, post it on Facebook groups, Reddit. Well, Reddit, they flag every time, so it's not working that much anymore. But yeah, you know, that's basically the process, writing and distribution. That's like
cool. Yeah. And and how much of the process is automated? Because you mentioned that you have like the list of products, but I guess the interesting thing you still need to check is it trending right now or if what kind of product is hot, right? Because this is what the reports are all about. Right. And so did Kevin write some script that you are now using or are you doing just manually?
I'm doing it manually at the moment. Like I take 10 ideas, product ideas, check them really, really quickly and see what's going on. But like, yeah, I hope maybe in the future, I'm not a software guy. Maybe in the future, I'll be able to find a way to like automate that. Right now, the only thing that we automate is if somebody subscribes on Gumroad, it takes them directly to the paid. We have two versions on MailChimp, so you know, the free version and the paid version. Right. So that I think that's the only automation we have.
Oh, that's crazy. But yeah, it really shows. Most similar projects are really automated. So they put out a lot more stuff, but it's all just, I don't know, stuff they pulled up with some script. And you're right. Doing really the work. So you're really putting in a lot of manual work and it shows. So right. It's really cool, yeah. And you're still able to find cool stuff. If you're doing the manual stuff, so is it just because you see stuff happening with your other project? So this is where the ideas are coming from right now because you have like this insight and all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess that's my specific talent is be able to find really good products really, really fast. We analyze so many products we get that do that. Like you get used to like finding the gems inside the trash.
Right.
So you can automate that, but like it's always better to have somebody to do it manually. And there's always a market for both. There's a market for curated stuff and like for more personalized. Like I think TrendsBC.bc, like he does like a sort of a personalized, like on the hitters version. I don't know if you have read his reports, but that, like you can tell that it's personalized. So like,
yeah.
So I guess that's something that stands out and people, it's not like a generic, this is automated stuff. This is three product ideas that can work, but like we put in like an extra flavor, we put in some love, we put in some time, we put some human touch.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, there's always a market for both.
Absolutely. And I really love how like the two projects you have worked together because like you get the product ideas from there and on the other hand you're using Product Byte to promote AIEDA. Because I saw in your reports you're sometimes have like the option contact AIEDA. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have a section of like the suppliers. We add like a Chinese factory. If it's the cashmere leggings, this is the factory that you can purchase your products from. Or yep. We have the option of Get Ayuda because we also want, that's another service that we have. And there's a few people who have contacted us about this. So I guess product byte might become like an engine, like a lead gen.
Exactly.
So it's slowly becoming like a funnel, which is interesting. I guess that's what I wanted, but I didn't think it worked like that. It's like when you see it working in like in real time, it's awesome. And I think many of like these small projects that many makers think are making $500 a month, this can actually be very valuable for like bigger companies. And they can become like lead engines, like for any newsletter. If you're able to like find ways to like adopt it to bigger companies, you can find 10x value in whatever you're doing.
Right. Yeah, it's so much more valuable immediately. And then it doesn't matter that you maybe paid a little bit more.
Exactly.
Because you're now making up for it, not just in terms of the profit from paid subscribers, which I think the valuation was primarily based on, right? But now you have added like this additional revenue source. Yeah, pre-marketing. Awesome. I really love that. This is one of the smartest things I've seen.
Latin ingenuity. That's what they teach us in Colombia.
Cool, man. I really love that. Another question, of course, I have is, do you have like any personal experience with e-commerce? Did you ever have an e-commerce store yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I used to, in high school, it wasn't really e-commerce. I used to sell AirPods, not AirPods, like the headphones.
Yeah.
My friend in high school. So I used to sell them on eBay also. Yeah. So on e-commerce in high school, I used to sell at school on eBay. Like my other co-founders that have more experience on e-commerce. Like I, as I told you, he used to have an e-commerce stores in Mexico that with the subscription box, like used to sell ties, used to sell mail accessories on the e-commerce. So yeah, we have experience. That's our experience on e-commerce.
Yeah, right. That was what I expected. Because
it's interesting. Like I'm not passionate about e-commerce. That's like when I used to do it in high school, I said, this is not something I want to get involved with.
Really?
I was more attracted to like bigger technologies, like blockchain technologies and like, I don't know, AI. So I said, okay, that's what I want. If I'm getting involved in tech, that's what I want to do. And life is very funny. And I ended up in e-commerce, the last industry I'll think I enjoy it. I know I'm good at it, but I didn't want to go into it. But now that I'm into it, I like it. So like when you find stuff that you appreciated, that you like, that I'm appreciating a lot more. It's interesting. It was really unexpected. And I guess that made me realize you have to be open to anything, especially now. And if you don't like something right now, maybe you might like it in the future. It just takes time. But yeah.
Really smart. And I just had a look at another, at your landing page. And then you mentioned like the social proof thing where the Ayeda page, where you mention where you have been featured, right?
Right.
The usual thing. And one of these is the Next Web, which is of course super cool that you have been featured there. But I clicked on the link and it's something about Bitcoin. So I was confused, but it was some kind of side project of yours, as it seems, right? Bitcoin salaries.
Actually, that's I took that approach. Like I even took the language from the founders featured on. So I wanted to try it. That's when we launched the website. We didn't really have any social proof for Get Ayuda. So I have been featured on some mediums or other side projects, like for Bitcoin salaries. Like as I told you, I was involved in blockchain like for a few years. Like we translated the course at Berkeley University and we distributed it in Latin America. And so I was doing some small projects in Bitcoin. And I basically bought the domain bitcoinsalaries.com. And I created like a Forbes list of like converting the salaries of all the celebrities into Bitcoin. And for some reason, it got traction. And basically, the Next Web called it the best use case for Bitcoin yet.
That's amazing.
You know, it's pretty funny. But yeah, it got some traction. Yeah, nah, basically, like for the, as you said, for the social proof, I guess if you don't have any, if it's like a really, really new project or new product and you really have no social proof, I guess this is a good way to start. If you have been featured anywhere else, people trust what you make and they trust like you can do stuff. But I definitely have to like update the website and put social proof for Get Ayuda and also for Protobyte, because like this is something like I've seen that you do really, really good. So seeing what other people are doing good makes you also want to do it. So
sure.
Definitely, thank you for pointing it out. Like I totally forgot I had the Next Web on Get Ayuda, which is totally not relevant to.
Yeah. That's still cool. And you're also into no code because you're not technical. So you built this Bitcoin salary thing with no code and also a few other projects. So Grow Slowly was another one you did, right?
That was exactly a year ago. I was bored on Twitter and I don't know if, what's his name? He used to be the CTO of Coinbase. What's his name? CTO of Coinbase. Balaji, they were having a conversation about companies that they grew slowly. And it was at the time that I was learning how to use Glide, which is a no-code tool for like making mobile apps.
Yeah.
I basically Googled what are the best companies that grew slowly. And I created like a database, like literally in like less than an hour, I created like a sort of like an app, made it like a good design, a good user experience. I posted it on Protocon. I don't know why. I think it was like the first time I did it. And I basically put the link on Balaji's Twitter. And he gave it a shout out. He retweeted it.
Awesome.
I got like 180 upvotes. It was like the first time, I think it was like the first time I got something good on Protocon. I used to post like stuff on Protocon, but like they got like 5 upvotes. It's interesting. It was like also like a way to like learn how to use Glide. And somebody was asking for something. I was like, okay, I can do it.
Yeah, it's a super smart strategy and something I've done myself just recently, right? I also listened to a podcast, like the My First Million podcast.
Right.
And then I, with Andrew Wilkinson, and then they mentioned like this idea of buying abandoned Product Hunt products. And this is why I built Product Explorer. And I tweeted that this was inspired by Andrew Wilkinson, and he retweeted it. And this generated lots of sales and upwards. So listening to podcasts is a great strategy. Yeah.
You know, like you can, I guess, build like a curated thing of like what people are mentioning to be built. And build it and then tag them.
Yep. And it's a great strategy. Yeah.
That's all. So it's like a curated base of like Product Hunt stuff that were built that people don't use anymore, or?
Yeah, it's exactly. It's like all the top 10 products from the last 5 years. Okay. And then check if the sites are still available and also like SEO ratings and a bunch of other useful information on them. So contact information for the owners, a snapshot of the page when it launched and all this kind of stuff that could be useful. I think this is just one use case where people actively look for abandoned products they can purchase. So I personally also use it to find similar products in order to learn from their product descriptions and tech lines, because this kind of stuff is important. I guess there are lots of use cases, but primarily it was really inspired by this Andrew Wilkinson idea.
That's really cool.
Of buying old stuff, yeah.
And can you replicate this for like, I don't know, like Hacker News posts that they got the most engagement? Like,
yeah, Hacker News is already included.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Product Hunt and Hacker News.
That's awesome. And I'm looking at the website. So you build a lot of products, right? Yeah, quite a few. It's like an awesome approach that I'm seeing. Like, that you take like basically like similar concepts, like of information that people find interesting, like for Gumroad, for the Product Hunt, you know, it's really, really cool. And like repackaged something that's very, very valuable and like found like a customer base. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's working surprisingly well. And I've done it like yesterday just for newsletters. I've done the same thing. And I have a few other ideas, but of course I want to also do other stuff in the future, because you won't get rich with this kind of thing, and it's not that sustainable, because it has the same problem as you have with newsletter. So you observe with newsletter, like you have high churn because most people just want to look at the data once.
Right.
I think it makes sense to subscribe to the data because you get updates, which is important, but maybe not each month. You need new data, or yeah. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet. So
it's slow progress, no?
I mean, I think a great solution, which is this, Kevin Conti is his name, right? He's doing this software ideas newsletter, which is similar to Product Byte, but for software ideas instead of e-commerce, right?
Right.
And he simply has no monthly option. So you have to subscribe for a quarter. Really smart. That's really smart. So yeah.
I think Kevin O'Rourke, the guy we acquired Product Byte, I think he started brainstorms.io. He's slowly building it. So like, it's going to be also like ideas or like startups and all that. Because I think he's also a startup consultant. So he's like taking all his experience, making like, I don't think he's going to do a newsletter. I think he wants to do like more high ticket, like how do you say it? The webinars and all that. There's so many stuff you can sell like that.
Right. Yeah, newsletters are a tough business. That's that's definitely true. It's much easier to like sell a course because you only have to record it once.
Right.
And that's it. But you have to work on the newsletter.
Of course.
each month. Yeah, I'm actually a subscriber to Brainstorms, but I wasn't aware that it's the same guy. I'm looking at it. So that's really funny. Yeah, as I said, I did like a lot of research on these kind of products. It got me interested because I noticed it's like a trend and I wanted to figure out what people are doing in the space.
It's a really, like, the market is like very nascent. Like there's so many other people like coming in. I think it was Warren Buffett that said like, the newspaper business is like one of the best business models. And there's so many newspapers, like bigger, like local journalism. I think that slowly is going to like become digitalized and it's probably going to be much bigger. So like whatever we're seeing, if you think it's small, it's just starting out. It can be 10x, 100x, like the opportunities are like.
Absolutely. And there's enough space for this product because I have like a database of similar products and there are so many in there. It's really crazy. But again, most people are not able to pull it off. So right. Because the hardest part is actually getting started and getting like the first X subscribers. And because if you're not getting like that first traction, it's really hard to stay motivated to actually write the stuff. And then, yeah. And then maybe we can talk about product ideas in general, because I'm of course curious since you're now having Get Oyeda, you have a product bite. So do you have any other plans like launching small side projects again in just for marketing purposes, or will you just focus on what you're currently doing?
So right now, like that's a problem I had before. I used to launch a bunch of like small projects. Like I see, so Bitcoin salaries grow slowly. I had like something called Automate Zoom, which was basically nobody knew how to use Zoom and nobody knew how to hit the record button. So I wanted to as really, I guess you can call it like a SaaS using Zapier, right, or like automatically send from Zoom to like a database or like send an email where the recording is. So it was something very simple I was building. So I guess I'm taking my focus from like building a lot of products to like focusing on two. So I guess for me at the moment, just focusing on Get Ayuda and Product Byte. But I have so many, like literally any idea that I get, I write it down on Notion. If you want, we can talk about those. There's so many opportunities out there.
Oh, I would love to hear them. Let's pull up your list.
All right. So I mean, you know, I guess it really depends where the ideas come from, like from who the person is. Like from my background, I'm an Orthodox Jew from Latin America. So many of my ideas growing up were like Jewish related, South American related. How the delivery system in Colombia, there's a company called Rappi. Why that thing works and not in America. You can, in Colombia, it's very normal to, if I have, I don't know, a soccer ball and I want to send it to my friend, I just pull up the app Rappi and it sends it directly. But in America, you cannot do that. So I guess understand why some stuff work in some areas and they don't work in different areas.
Sorry, I didn't get that. So what is the app? What's the name? Can you
like? Rappi. It's actually one of the biggest companies now in Colombia.
Yeah, crazy. Never heard of it.
They went to Y Combinator and yeah, they're probably the fastest growing company right now. I like take stuff that worked in some countries, but they don't work in other countries right now. Like for example, Get Ayuda, I guess it's like unbundling China, unbundling a country and find resources.
Yeah, super smart approach, like taking ideas that are working in another country and just getting them over.
Right.
And this is, yeah, like in Germany, there are two guys who got super rich with this kind of thing. So what they did, for example, is they just cloned eBay and Facebook for Germany. Really, they did that. And then because they launched earlier, they got all the subscribers, all the users, and later were simply bought by them. So, and they made millions. Smart. Crazy, yeah. So, and Rappi makes $220 million per year. So yeah, it's really a big deal. And what are they actually doing? I'm not able to figure it out from the Wikipedia page I'm looking at.
So they do deliveries. They have like a fleet of like motorcycles. So basically, no, they don't have a fleet. It's like Uber. So like right. Somebody has a motorcycle and they have like a backpack on the back with the logo of Rappi. So I go to the app and I want to send you a soccer ball or I want to send my mom flowers. They're in my house. They're not in a store. So I just pull up the app. I put my location and the person's location. I give them the item. They ship it. It's like a shipping company delivery. Very in-house local And right now, I think they want to expand to be like a DoorDash, or like Uber Eats, where you can order for everything. I guess the hardest stuff is like figure out why it works in Colombia and why it doesn't work in America. As you said, the guys in Germany, they figure out what can work in Germany because they understand the market. And instead of like Facebook doing a bunch of market research, which they paid a lot of money for it when they want to expand, or like eBay or whatever, anybody can be in somewhere, figure out, basically take the business model of something that already works, figure out what works in their country and combine it. So like for Rappio, I mean, I have not figured it out yet, but like in America, so many times I want to send stuff to my friends and like, right. I don't know why. I think Postmates was doing it for some time, but it didn't work out. But like find a way to use Rappi in America where you're able to send stuff to anybody. So like, for example, especially right now with the coronavirus, nobody can leave their houses. So like if I want to send my grandmother some old pictures that I have with her, there's no way to do it. You can do USPS, but I have to go to the actual place or put it on a postage. And it's pretty expensive. Annoying. Yeah, it's like $5 to send pictures, which with Rappi, it can cost you $1, $2, or like you can create like a subscription model a month where you pay, I don't know, $30 and you can send 10 items a month. So like, that's like one thing that's working in Colombia and not in America, and America is a bigger market. So like,
of course, I
guess micro stuff.
Yeah, the person who figures out how to do this, like in other countries, if someone figures this out for Germany, he will get rich. So this is clear. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Really cool idea. I like it. So what else have you got?
What else have I got?
How long is your product list? So I'm always curious about this because like most people who are doing something entrepreneurial have like this project list they want to maybe work on someday. It's getting longer and longer. And always curious how long the list of other people are.
So my written list, because I used to write them down on a notepad, it's like maybe right now it's like 10, 20 pages. I don't have that one with me. And then my Notion list, how big is it right now? It's called My Startup Ideas. 50 projects categorized, which ones are live, which one is validated, which one tried, made some money, but paused it. And then the other one's like, fuck this, I'm not going to do this ever again. Yes, I have everything from like smart kitchens, you know, kosher smart kitchens to I had a pregnancy newsletter.
Really? What's the story behind your pregnancy newsletter?
It came from like my first million podcast. I think Sean was speaking about. And I have a friend who became a TikTok superstar. Like he makes videos of his family. He like his wife and his baby. And right now they have like 3 million followers. So I said, okay, I have the distribution. So I wanted to create like a automated drip, like because most people don't know what to do when they're pregnant. I'm not the most expert, like speaking with like friends like that are married. It's really something that everybody does, but nobody knows if they're doing it right.
Yeah.
Right. So like create like a sequence of first week, this is what you do. Second week, this is what you do. First month, this is what you do. And it can be automated. You just have to create the content. And then I wanted to do it with the distribution. I wanted to pair up with my friend who has the TikTok account. Mm-hmm. So something that could be automated. It didn't work out because, I don't know, time happened. And I said, okay, I don't know anything about this. Why am I doing it? And I felt insecure, so I didn't pursue it. So that's
I think it's a great idea, but you have to be the right person to do it too. That's right. So it would have been like an email course, right?
I was going to hire.
Oh, super interesting. What else have you got on your list?
What else? We had like a scooter thing. We wanted to find like a logistics of how to optimize where most people use the scooters. For example, I guess sell this service to Bird or all the big scooter companies, which this idea was like in 2019, where like all these companies became the fastest growing companies in the world.
Right.
With $1 billion. So like, for example, in Miami, if there's 20 scooters in South Beach at 2 p.m., like, most people look into the app, the Bird app, at 3 p.m. on Miami Beach. So create like a logistical service where we're able to transport where more scooters are not used currently because most people just leave it anywhere else. So they'll basically have like a truck and like drive them where based on the data where most people use it at certain time, at certain day, at certain location.
Right. So it sounds like a lot of work for very little money, to be honest.
Yeah, that's why it's on the fuck this, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, I was wondering about what idea you mentioned when you said that, but it makes perfect sense for this idea, right? That's awesome. And do you have any plans like in the e-commerce direction? So like start a store yourself, because I mean, you are in the perfect position and you could even do it like as a marketing stunt for Product Byte.
Yeah, that's on the plan. We want to figure out how the system set in place for like Product Byte and GetAyuda. And that's like on our list to do next. Build, like sell the product ourselves made in Mexico, and maybe try to like build it in public. Like
yes, exactly.
Yeah. What went right, what went wrong, because there's so many things that can go wrong and they're so unexpected. So like try to like teach the process of everything. But like we want to have the system place for the other two. But yeah, that's definitely on our things to do.
Yeah, this would be amazing and you should totally do it. And I think there are like two possible ways to pull this off. You could do it like just for free, writing case studies and going the content marketing route. But I think you could also try to do what Sean was doing, All Access Pass, right?
Yeah, of course.
And yeah, did you listen to the episode where he mentioned how much money he made? So
need how much, like 50K a month, no?
Yeah, exactly. And I think if he would have charged less money, because he was charging a ridiculous amount. He was charging like $200 a month or something like
yeah.
that. Totally crazy. If you charge like a reasonable amount, like $30 or whatever, I think you can earn a lot more money because more people sign up. And if you do like this case study, and you could even copy his model where you write like a daily update or whatever, and once a week, the update is free, right? And use this as content marketing. And then you get like the best of both worlds. And I think it could work amazingly well. So it's
definitely
do it. Yeah.
It's a lot of, it takes a lot of work. I think he had somebody else to do it. I think like it was a two-man team. Like
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. He was not doing it alone.
So for something like this, it's definitely a good idea. And something I want to do, but I definitely need somebody else for that one. There's a lot
yeah. Yeah, but I mean, in principle, all you have to do is like a daily email, right? And I mean, a lot of people are already doing this, like writing a journal. And
right.
In principle, you would do simply that and share it. So you would write down what you did that day in terms of your e-commerce project. So I think writing is only hard if you don't have anything to tell. But if you're doing like a cool project, the content writes itself. And okay. Yeah, it's of course exactly the same with all the influencers. Like if you're just sitting at home, producing great content is super tough. But if you're traveling, like, yeah, it's the easiest thing in the world to snap a cool photo here and there. And for us entrepreneurs, it's the same. Yeah, just travel. So should definitely do it. And after all, you already have like the system in place where you have like the proofreader and the process for writing and the mechanics of writing a newsletter, even of selling a new, paid newsletter, right? I would bet money that it would work amazingly, especially if you then even post it like in the trends group. I think it would be a no-brainer that you get immediately a few subscribers. So
definitely.
Yeah. So I will look out in the trends group. So if you post,
you want to know, I'll send it to you.
Awesome. I will definitely check that out, because there are a lot of people interested in, for example, e-commerce, but simply have no idea how it works. And you already got like some exposure at a young age, probably not made a lot of money, but made a lot of mistakes, whatever.
Right.
And I think it would be really valuable to get this insider look. Even if you don't have like a serious plan to start an e-commerce store yourself, just to get this like insider information that see the side that you're usually not seeing. Yeah.
Definitely. I can also get my co-founder Zev, who he had the e-commerce, but I need a translator for him.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He has all that experience like for content. Like he speaks English, but like he's writing, he's learning. Can definitely, if he learns English, he'll be able to do it. He will be the one that to follow his process.
Yeah, right. This is such an unfair advantage that all the Americans are having, right? That they can speak and write English so easily. And we have to learn it the hard way. So,
exactly. Ahead they are, like the advantage they have. They don't understand that.
Right. Yeah, I guess the time is over, unfortunately. But I think since you have a lot of ideas still on your list, we can simply repeat this at some point in the future. And maybe once you started like this newsletter, your e-commerce store, whatever, then you can use it here to promote it and we can talk about it. And of course, about all the cool stuff on your list that we haven't talked about so far.
Of course. All right.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time. That was really cool. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.